GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hale Rick Tyler Show, welcoming back everyone's favorite veterinarian. From VZ Vet Clinic, Dr. David Cloutier. Look at him sitting right there. Mourning the end of barefoot water skiing season, but glad to be here to answer questions about your dog, your cat, or...
Oh, your cockatoo.
Welcome back, Doc. How are you?
You're absolutely right. The boats have been put away, so it's kind of sad. So that means another season's upon us.
But you're still tan. That's what puzzles us. How do you manage?
I took the kids to Florida for their birthdays.
Oh.
Quick little trip.
There you go. Yep. That's ensuring that they'll put you in a nice nursing home someday.
That's what we thought. We also couldn't think of what to get them, you know.
That's good. Already some text messages are coming in into the MTG text line. People asking questions of Dr. David Cloutier. Again, if you got a question, dial it in 1-800-966-1039. Dial now your question for Dr. Cloutier about your pet, 1-800-966-1039. This person starts off on a somber subject. Please thank the doc and all of our animal caregivers for the competent medical care and compassionate support when we have to put a pet down. That's a very difficult decision to make, and you, as a caregiver, kind of have to share in that loss.
We do. I felt bad for Dr. Laura Tardiff, one of our doctors yesterday, I think had three euthanasias before lunch. And so you do, you pour your heart out, and you help that family the best you can. You have a bond with them. You've been caring for their pet frequently for a long time. And so you do your best to make that the best experience possible. And so it's sad, definitely.
How do you cheer people up around the office, I mean, after something like that?
You know, I liken it to going to a sad movie. You know, you experience that emotion, but hopefully you have the emotional resilience that you bounce back, or that somebody comes running by with a little kitten and puts it in your hands or something else.
I could see that.
But we also have a great group of people that all support each other. So if you know someone's had a hard experience, whether it's losing a pet or whatever it is, support each other a little bit and help everyone move on. And it is a part of our daily lives. So you need to be able to figure out how to do that, do it well, and emotionally rebound right away.
Hopefully this is a happier question coming in on the PDQ or telephone line. Caller, hi, what's your question for Dr. David Cloutier of the VZ Vet Clinic?
Hopefully it's happier. I have a cat, probably about 4 years old, and he's always been a thin cat, but recently he started being really finicky when he eats, and he seems like he's losing a little bit more weight, and I haven't figured out what it could be. I was wondering if there's anything I could do before taking him to the vet.
So this is always if I was taking care of your cat for you, is the scariest history, because in the back of my mind starts churning, oh, it could be this, could be this, could be this. And there's this long list of hundreds of things that start to run through my mind. A normal, healthy animal, unless there's a really good reason for weight loss, like the owner took up jogging with their dog and is running a lot, or was a pretty sedentary indoor cat and now is going out and getting a lot more exercise, or I got a kitten and he's playing all the time. Unless I have a really good reason for weight loss. And even more scary is when someone says, yeah, I have to keep switching foods to find something he'll or she'll eat and enjoy. That red flag in the back of my mind is like, mayday, something's going on. Find it. As soon as you can. So for me, I'm always doing a physical exam, trying to figure out what it is. And then if not, I go to lab work and see what I have. The what can I do at home question, I wish I could help you, because what everyone does is continue to shop for different foods or make different foods until they find something that is enticing enough to keep their animal eating. Unfortunately, all we're doing is delaying the diagnosis of whatever's going on and potentially letting it get worse. And so it's always disheartening to us or scary to us when the owners tried and tried and tried, and now they come in and they're in big trouble and we got a big hole to dig out of. So personally, my advice, when my animal doesn't eat, if it's a week, that's a long time. Or I shouldn't say not eat, gets finicky and it is not maintaining their weight well. That's a huge red flag. Cats hide things well. Don't let it go on too long. Get into the vet, do some lab work, figure it out. And good luck. I really want your cat well.
Thank you.
Best of luck. George, you want to pick up the phone? Because I think Vivian in Belfast wants to talk with Dr. Cloutier.
Hey, Vivian. Good morning. What do you got going on in your house with your cat?
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Cloutier.
Good morning.
Yes, I have a 3-year-old cat. And within the past 3 months or so, his pH level has gone up. And I put him on all wet food, and he eats good, but I can't seem to get his pH levels down.
So I'm going to guess by pH, you've got a little pH indicator and measuring the urine pH.
Right.
Yes. And is he a kitty that's had urinary problems?
Wrong.
Yep.
Pardon?
And he's had urinary problems. That's why you're measuring his pH.
Well, I can't say that he's had urinary problems, but I use this litter called Pretty Litter,
mm-hmm.
and it has different colors that the grains turn to, which may help you figure out if your pet has a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And green indicates a pH level, and recently it's green all the time, and his urine is very strong.
Yeah.
I've taken him to my vet, and she said to put him on all wet food, which I've been doing now for the last 3 months or so, but it's not getting any better.
So there's two strategies we use. What the listeners are missing out in the equation of this, it's kind of this conversation of you and I knowing that what we're trying to do is prevent urinary obstructions and urinary problems in cats, in particular male cats, but females will get it as well. And it's a combination of the amount of, or how concentrated their urine is, the amount of crystals that are forming based on the pH, how much irritants are forming in their bladder. So our strategy is either canned food, give them a lot of fluid so that their urine's dilute and they flush all that out, or to give them a food that gives the results in a urine pH that's in this proper level that does not promote the formation of these crystals. There's also dry foods out there that will help you keep that pH where it needs to be and encourage cats to drink. So I think the smartest move would be to change to a urinary health diet. And the problem is anybody can write urinary health diet on the bag. It doesn't mean it's going to help you, or on the can. So relying on Royal Canin, Science Diet, Purina Veterinary Diets, there's a few companies out there that do this well. So I would get one of those either on the recommendation of your veterinarian or email us at VZVet, and we'll get you the right diet that will correct that problem before it becomes a big problem.
Okay, that sounds good.
Vivian, best of luck to you. 1-800-966-1039. I think it's Rick. Rick, did you say you're in Belfast?
Yes.
Corinth. Rick in Corinth. Rick, what's your question?
I have a female cat, one of two, that's diabetic, very, very much overweight, but she gets insulin twice a day. But my question is, when she's at the water bowl, before she starts to drink, often she'll cry very loudly and strongly a few times. And I wondered, could that be a symptom of anything?
Boy, nothing jumps to mind for me.
Is it crying as in I'm angry, I'm hurt cry, or crying as in I'd rather have beer in this bowl than water kind of a cry, you know?
Or the third question, I wish I wasn't so thirsty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's listening for the answer on the radio. But,
you know, one of the things I think of, it concerns me if that cat needs a lot of water. I mean, we want them to be able to drink a reasonable amount of water. But if they're diabetic and their water consumption's higher than it should be, so they're going to the bowl a lot, or I'm getting really larger urine clumps in the litter, I feel like maybe I haven't regulated their diabetes well. Their sugar could be too high. So double-checking that a couple times, just making sure there's not a lot of sugar in the urine would be a smart move, just to make sure you're well-regulated.
Hmm. Some of the text messages coming in, and there are a heap of questions coming for you. The audience has missed you, Dr. Cloutier.
Yeah, apparently. I was on vacation too long.
I have a pit bull with a problem. He's a licker. He'll lick you from your face to your feet. Socks, pants, hands, anything. Why does he lick, and how can we get him to keep that thing inside of his mouth?
Yeah, it's that age-old comic, my dog can't control his liquor. I love that one. But anyway.
I never heard that.
Yeah, and my dog's got a problem. He can't control his liquor. So, and obviously that's this guy's case. A lot of times on our hands, you know, when we sweat, some salt comes through our pores, so it's a little bit of a salty taste that obviously is appealing to us as well as our dogs. And for some of them, it's I think a sign of infection, you know, animals that that are in groups that care for each other, groom each other. So there's probably a component of that. But certainly in a lot of cases, something tastes good. So it's another reason they do it. Mm-hmm. So it's just part of this interaction. And we can work with them to just get them to stop where we kind of move away, don't interact until they stop licking. And then we try to pet or be with them. And as soon as they lick, I kind of withdraw a little bit. And if I keep doing that consistently, eventually they're like, all right, I'm going to keep my liquor in my mouth and if I want attention. And it's just a matter of training them out of it, really, and letting them go lick someone else in the family who doesn't care or needs a bath. He's still thinking of the liquor.
I am looking at George. I'm surprised you hadn't heard that joke before, George.
I've heard it many times. What else is going on, Doc?
It's kind of like the CAT scan joke.
Yeah, there's more than one way to scan a cat.
Yeah, well, the CAT scan joke and the lab work. So, you know, you bring your pet to the veterinarian and the veterinarian brings a cat and puts it on the table and the cat looks at your pet. And then he brings him in and the lab does the same thing. And then on the bill is a charge for the CAT scan and the lab work. And, you know, that's one of those. You got it. Okay.
Right. Caller, hello, the George Hale Rick Tyler Show. What's your question about your pet for Dr. Cloutier?
Hey, I've got a full-blooded black lab. He's going to be 3 in April, and he's got this stupid habit of if he sees a blanket that he can get at, he pulls it off the bed. He balls it all up under him and just gets as much of the blanket in his mouth as possible, and it's like he just sits there and kneads on it. He's always done it since a puppy, and even now, if you catch him with a blanket, he always does it. It's kind of weird to me, but I just wonder if there's any reason for that.
It's also a little bit uncomfortable when you go to use that blanket and it's all soggy with dog slobber.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you sure he's not an Afghan hound?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. We need some cause to save
we're
us from ourselves.
We're going on. We're on fire today.
We are. My goodness. You know, it's funny because I had a child that did that. One of our kids would haul this little blanket around with him. And there's times he was sucking on the end. I'm like, how do you fit that much of that thing in your mouth? It's all soggy. It's the Labrador Retriever form of doodling or chewing your fingernails or whatever the kind of habit is you have to pacify yourself. Or for
okay,
kids sucking
so he's
up.
Not, he's not just being stupid. That's just something that they do then.
Well, he's a Labrador Retriever, well, so he's going to be goofy. that's what makes us love him so much. But that they get so much enjoyment out of just some little crazy thing. But yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So he's normal. He doesn't need therapy. So
he's normal. And as a Labrador Retriever, I would not expect him to grow out of it. He's just going to do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's awesome. Okay. Well,
part of the charm.
I appreciate that.
Have a great day.
Mm. This person writes to us, my dog must have a liquor license then.
Oh, my goodness. I'm not sure where we went wrong, but this is great.
Okay. This person says, when our dogs are roughhousing, they sneeze at each other. Why do they sneeze at each other when they are roughhousing?
So attention getting behavior. So some dogs will learn that if they come up to their owners and sneeze at them, the owner reacts to that. And, you know, some of them are like, oh, God bless you. And they just interact with them. So it starts to become this attention-getting behavior.
We're going to keep an eye out for some more text messages. And if you've got a question for Dr. David Cloutier, you can text it to us, 601-207-GHRT, 601-207-4478, or email it to us, or we'll take your call on the PDQ door telephone line in just a moment. And no more lame kid jokes.
I was just going to say, or send your pet jokes.
Jokes. Next on the George Hale Rick Tyler Show.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.